Lesson four of our study, Into All the World, and today we're going to be talking about Stephen. And before we do that, before we begin, Holloway, can I get you to lead us in prayer? Amen. Okay, we're going to be in Acts chapter 6 and 7 for this part of our study, and looking at Stephen and the work that he was tasked to do, and all of that, the things that surrounded that, and then ultimately his being stoned to death. So some things that we need to consider as we look at this is things that were going on in the church at the time. What was the atmosphere like there in Jerusalem? And keep in mind that as far as the book of Acts is concerned, we're still focused on the church there in Jerusalem and all the different things that were unfolding and events that were taking place there in Jerusalem with the church as it was beginning. So can I get somebody that would like to read chapter 6, and let's do down through verse 1 down through verse 7. Do I have a volunteer? All right, Tom, go ahead. Okay, up to this point, for the most part, the problems that the church has been experiencing as it, you know, from when we started in Acts chapter 2, beginning of the church, up to this point, where has the problems that the church has faced really been coming from? From where? Well, no, that's this problem. I'm talking about up to this point. Before this point, where have the problems that the church has experienced mostly been coming from? From the Jews, you know, opposition from outside, non-believers, okay? There's the, you know, the persecution that's already been taking place, the threats that the Sanhedrin gave to the apostles to stop preaching the word, putting them in jail, and so forth. But nonetheless, through all of that opposition, what do we see happening concerning the church? It's growing. You know, there's still, you know, the numbers are growing. We started out with 3,000 souls baptized on the first day, and then the number grew to 5,000, and it just keeps on growing. Well, now we're at a point where we see problems not coming necessarily from outside. Those didn't cease, okay? All right? But now we're seeing some problems developing from within the church, okay? When you start, the more growth you have, the more people involved, you're going to have some more problems. Personalities are going to clash. There's going to be some developments that come about. And the difficulties that the church is facing with this, what do they really have to do with? Okay. Do what now? Okay, taking care of the widows, but more specifically, what's the real issue here going on? You have Grecian widows who are being neglected, right? In the daily distribution of the food. The Hebraic widows, they're being taken care of. What's the problem here? Not just jealousy, it's prejudice is what it is. Okay? Because what you have is, what's going on here? Who are Hellenists? Anybody? Who were those folks? They're Greeks, okay? And so they're Jews, but they're not Jews from Jerusalem, okay? My point here is that even amongst those who are supposed to be the same, and these are all Christians, right? We still have some issues of prejudice and things like that going on. You've got primarily most of the folks that are in the church at that particular time are going to be Hebraic Jews. They're true Israelite Jews, okay? But some have been, they're Grecian Jews. In other words, their lineage is mixed. It's part Jewish, part Greek, and so forth. So apparently what's going on in the early church is, okay, well, yeah, we got these Grecian widows over here, but they're not as important as our Hebraic widows, so we need to make sure we take care of them first. And so these widows are being neglected, okay? There's a daily distribution of food being given out to those who are in need, and we got some widows who are being neglected. So that causes a problem amongst the disciples. All right? Why is this taking place? Notice that it is, the statement that he begins with here is, when the number of disciples was increasing. So as I said earlier, one of the problems that we have is as numbers increase, you get more and more people, then you're more and more vulnerable to issues and problems and disagreements and things of that nature, okay? So, they're being overlooked in the daily distribution of the food. Let me ask you this question. One of the first one here is, how fast was the church growing at this point? Yeah, there's a lot of growth that's taking place. People are being converted, by the thousands, all right, in these early days of the church, okay? So they had some problems, and in this particular case, it's the daily distribution of the food, all right? The 12, that is the apostles, gather everybody together and say, okay, we got a problem here. Okay? And we have a solution to this problem. Their problem, as defined, is it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word in order to wait on the tables. So, brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom, and we'll turn this responsibility over to them, and we'll give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. Here's the question. Why would it not have been proper for the apostles to serve in the daily ministration of the food? Okay. All right. Okay. So is this kind of you know, we're too good to do this job? Right. It wasn't their job. That's the real key. Everybody has a job to do, right? And so one of the key things to making sure that growth continues and we're doing the things that we need to is that everybody does the job that they are tasked to do. Okay? The other question here, another question that this thing has is, what would the apostles have had to forsake to serve or to wait on the tables? Okay? All right, so what's the basic principle here? Do what? Everybody has a job, but what happens if somebody's not doing their job? Okay, that not only gets neglected, that job's not getting done, but then ultimately so often what happens is somebody else then comes in and steps in and starts taking care of that job. All right, so then what's the result of that? Yeah, exactly, okay? So this job is being taken care of, but then ultimately something else is going to be neglected. All right? So again, that's why it's so important for to keep in mind the idea that everybody has a job to do and everybody needs to be doing their job, because if someone doesn't do their job, that's the first point, then that means it's either not going to get done or somebody else is going to have to do it. And if somebody else has to do it, then they're going to neglect doing what they need to be doing. You see? So it's really important that everybody take care of their responsibility, all right? A parallel to this is, you know, back when I was in police work, one of the things, problems that we oftentimes had, you know, every officer is assigned a particular patrol district, okay? And what would oftentimes happen is it's kind of a slow night, nothing's really going on. One officer over here gets a call, and guess what happens? Because everybody's bored, everybody wants to go over there to see what's going on, you see? Well, again, basic principle is if everybody goes over there to this, what's not happening? This area over here is not being patrolled. Nobody's over here, you see? Because everybody's over there doing that. And so, again, the principle is stay in your area, do what you've been assigned to do, okay? Take care of those things. Now, In the case where you had, you know, a really big problem, if you had an officer needs help, okay, all bets are off. Okay, everybody goes to a call, like it doesn't matter where you are, everybody goes to that. All right, but that's an extreme emergency. Otherwise, everybody stay in your area. Okay, and so that's a principle that we had to always be reinforcing. And so I'm basically saying that to us, we all need to stay in our area. Okay, do what you've been assigned to do. If you know, we have deacons that are tasked to do certain things, and if the deacons aren't doing their job, then the elders step in to start trying to fill in and do those things. Then the elders are trying to do deacons' work, and the elders aren't able to do the job that they're supposed to be doing. You see? So it's really important that we recognize that everybody stay in their area. Do what you've been tasked to do, right? And if everybody does that, then the work goes much smoother. And the work gets done the way that it should be done. How did Stephen help out with this whole situation? And the question more specifically is, how did Stephen help the gospel continue to be preached? Okay. As were the others that were chosen there, right? So how did their doing what they needed to do, how did that help continue to preach the gospel? Yeah, it freed them up to be able, as we've been saying, to do what they needed to do to take care of the ministry of the word, right? And so the point here, we say, well, you know, isn't that what we've been saying? Yeah, but here's another point we need to make sure we keep in mind. Whatever anybody's task is, and oftentimes people look and say, well, I don't have a very important task. But if people start looking at their individual task, their area, okay, and they don't see it as important, then they're going to tend to neglect it, and then that's going to have a ripple effect, and it's going to affect everything, including the preaching of the gospel. You see? So everybody needs to keep in mind and understand how important their role is, whatever that is, to the overall mission, which is sharing the gospel. Does that make sense? You see? When somebody looks at it and says, well, because I'm not the preacher, then sharing the gospel, that's not my job, that's not my task, so I'm just this. Well, but you don't realize how that affects the whole mission. Okay? Chuck, when you were in the Army, you have all kinds of people in different ranks all the way up the line, right? And the private, you know, the little lowly private that's, you know, he's swabbing out the dishes in the, you know, in the dining hall. How important is that to the whole total mission? Mm-hmm. Everybody's sick and the army doesn't move, right? And everybody knows that an army moves what? On its stomach, right? So, you know, that soldier who thinks, you know, where I am, KP duty, I'm doing nothing. What does it matter? You know, okay, again, the idea is that that task, as lowly as it may seem, is vital to the overall mission. And that's what we all have to understand about the task that we have. Whatever that is, it's vital to the overall mission. Okay? Holloway over here does a fantastic job of making our building and grounds area look really nice outside. And you may not think, well, you know, that's not really that big of a deal, but I'm going to tell you the influence that that has, you know, on the neighbors around here. Before, it wasn't being done consistently, and it was, you know, sometimes the grass was growing like crazy, and I would hear from the neighbors about that. But since Holloway's been doing that and taking care of it and all that, I hear now from our neighbors, man, that place really looking nice over there. We go, why is it so important to cut the grass? Well, because, again, of the influence of that upon the people around us, you see? So, again, every task, everything that needs to be done, every job that someone has is important to the overall mission, and that's what we have to keep in mind. Don't look at just the one mission and go, why is that, you know, this is just a nothing job. When we look at it that way, we tend to feel like it doesn't really matter whether it gets done or not. But when we look at our role and our job in terms of the overall mission, okay, and we see how vital every part of it is, then we are less tending to neglect what those roles really, really require and to do what we need to do. Okay? Any thoughts or comments on that at all? Absolutely. Absolutely. You have opportunity to influence other people for the Lord. That is vitally important. Okay? Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Right. Because that's the overall mission, isn't it? And that's what we've got to keep in mind. What's the overall mission? It's to share the gospel with people. And we keep that in mind. That helps us to better do whatever it is that we have been tasked to do, all right? What else? thoughts? Okay, you look at this this task here, or this the solution that was proposed by the apostles here. Choose seven men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We'll turn this responsibility over to them. Verse 5 is one of my favorite verses in, you know, when looking at church growth and we're talking about, you know, things that are going on within the church. This statement, it always kind of stands out to me, all right? This proposal pleased the whole group. Okay? Yeah, you know, it's probably the last time that everybody in a church and a congregation was all pleased about something, okay? But here's a really important question. Think about this and ask, why do you think they were pleased? Okay, quite possibly. Okay, all right. Okay, all right. What else? Okay. Okay. All right. Any other thoughts on that? I heard a preacher one time talking about this very thing, and he offered this. This thought on that, and I thought, you know, maybe he's right. And he said quite simply, to answer the question, why do you think they were pleased? He said, because they wanted to be pleased. Now think about that for a moment. Think about that. Let that kind of sink in for a moment. They wanted to be pleased. In other words, it's the idea, you know, why are people so often so discontent with things going on, even in churches? Exactly, because it doesn't matter what goes on, they're not going to be happy with it. There are a lot of people that are like that. You see? Sure. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Right. Yeah. Running water, that's right. It's got to be moving water. Yeah, you know, the list goes on and on of all the different things that people have squabbled about. And again, the question comes back to, why? Because some people just are not going to be happy, you know, no matter what you do. But I think, you know, when, again, go back and look at what's going on here. We're talking about a large number of people, several thousand people here. Okay? So what does it take to get several thousand people all to agree and be pleased with one solution to a problem, you see? Well, there's apostles that are leading the church. Right. Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Again, you know, when you have an approach and an attitude about what is the mission here, okay, the overall mission is to share the gospel and save as many souls as we can. And so the mission is not just simply feed a bunch of widows, okay, where people then have the opportunity to figure out, well, what are you going to feed them? And how often? You know, and all of those kinds of, you know, and so forth. How much are they going to get? You know, are they going to get the same? You know, no, they were pleased because they were, I think they wanted to find a solution so that the work and the mission could continue going.
Say.
Yeah. That could possibly be true. But I think, you know, my point is, and I think this preacher that I heard at one time, you know, talking about that, I think is it's just the idea that says, you know, what are we looking for? You know, and our attitude has a lot to do with the growth of the church. Are we wanting to be pleased? Are we looking for solutions and things that will work? Or are we wanting to just to gripe and complain about whatever is going on? You see? Our attitude has a lot to do with what the atmosphere that the church has within it. And we really need to keep that in mind. So that's why this statement, this proposal pleased the whole group. It's like, wow, okay, that's never happened again since. Okay? You know, unique experience within the early days of the church. But again, it's about the attitude. And what are we really looking for? What are we expecting? What do we want, you see? Do we want the church to succeed? Or are we focusing on our petty disagreements or arguments or, you know, my idea versus your idea and all of those kinds of things? Chuck, you had your hand up a moment ago. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and you're right, you know, you look at, and I don't remember now last count, it's something like 1,100 different groups that call themselves Christians throughout the world. You know, we can't even agree on the basic fundamentals of Christianity, in that. But the other thing is, I think that it really also demonstrates how much respect the people in the church had for the apostles, that is the leadership of the church at that time, that, you know, we don't see the, you know, griping and complaining and all that kind of thing. What we see is the apostles came and said, look, here's what we're proposing. Here's a solution to this. Let's make this work so that the mission can continue going. And, you know, they had a lot of respect apparently for the apostles in what they saw as a solution to the real problem. So those are things that make all the difference in the world, that allow for the mission to continue to be accomplished, all right? Because Stephen served, the problem was solved, the word continued to be preached, and the number of disciples multiplied exceedingly, it says here, okay? Verse 7, the word of God spread, the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. All right, so they're reaching even into the hierarchy of Judaism. Okay? And so priests, a large number of priests are being, you know, converted into Christianity. So here's the question. If we will serve as Stephen did, what's to keep the same things from happening in the church today? Okay? Any thoughts on that? Think about this. Okay, we've talked about and identified a problem that they had in the church at that time. What kind of problems do we have in the church today? Okay. Okay. All right. Okay. Judy? Okay. 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 Brian? Okay. Okay, and I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think that's really at the core of it, all right? Because I think that too many, even within our church family today, have totally lost sight of what the mission is. To most people, I think the mission is go to church. That's just the feeling I get is that, you know, we see that as that's the main thing that we need to do is go to worship on Sunday. And do what? And still a lot of them don't do that. You know, so even going to Bible study is not, and I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but again, you know, what's a lot of the core problems here, okay? No, we don't have a choir. It's when we don't understand like they did, what the basic mission is really all about, then there's all kinds of things that will get in the way of it. Okay, so, you know, we have, and I know, you know, the COVID thing, and we haven't been doing a whole lot of the stuff that we normally do and all those kind of things, but, you know, we have lists that we put down there on the bulletin board for all kinds of different jobs that need to be done. Teaching classes and, you know, doing communion and cleaning the kitchen and whatever, all kinds of different things. But how much difficulty do we have in getting people to volunteer to take care of those things? you say? And we're not realizing that that's part of, you know, the things, as we were saying earlier, they may seem like menial tasks, you know. Why do I got to clean the kitchen? But again, it's there to support the overall mission, which is not just simply coming to church on Sunday morning. But I really think that's a major part of it that we have, that, you know, people see that as the mission. As long as I'm going to church, then I'm okay. And they've lost sight of, our mission is not just to go to church, it is to be seeking to save the lost. You say, Denise? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. 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 Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I've seen it. Yeah. Right. Right.
So we're kind of facing that other battle too, in that we're not just teaching, but we're having to unteach somebody.
Yeah.
I'm not giving that as an
excuse. Oh, no, I understand. And, you know, yeah, I agree with you. I think. Yeah. And again, but that, see, that goes back to what is the mission, is saving souls.
Right.
You know? But, you know, there's a lot of folks, I mean, even of our own number here, who don't even understand what worship is. You know, why do we go to church? It's not just to go to church. It's to worship God. We're here to worship God. That's what this is all about. That's the number one goal here, okay? And yet, for a lot of people, that's just not important. I'm not feeling very well today. I think I'll stay home. Yeah.
Because we're not bringing animal sacrifices. We're sacrificing our time, and we're coming in, and we're bringing the sacrifice to pray.
Okay. All right. Brian? Okay, so here's the next question. Let's just kind of think about this a little bit, okay? So we talk about these kind of problems, okay, and recognizing some of those things. So what can you do, all right? And I mean personally, what can you do personally, each one of us? Not just, you know, what can we as a church do generally? What can you do to help solve the problems, spread the word, and save souls? What are some of the things that need to be done here in this congregation? And the parenthesis here says, be specific. What can we do? Okay. 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 But what, I agree with you, but what specifically, in a case like that, for instance, Judy, what can you do to fix that problem? Okay. Okay, I think you're right. How do you recruit? How do you recruit people? What, when that person says, well, I don't feel comfortable enough, or I don't know enough to teach a class. What can you do to fix that problem specifically? Okay. Can you say something like, well, tell you what, I'm teaching the class, you know, right now. Why don't you come in and be my assistant and let me show you how to do this? You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. All right. What else? What can you do to solve some of these problems we've been identifying? Okay. What? Okay. Okay. Sure it does. Right. No, I understand. Okay, all right. So it's that personal contact and communication to call people and, you know, whatever, and to say, hey, you know, I'm missing you. Is there anything I can do? Can, you know, can I come pick you up and bring you to church? You know, whatever. So we can worship together, kind of thing. What else? Any other thoughts? Okay. Okay. The main thing I want to leave you with this morning is this thought, to realize again the importance that every person is important. Every role is important in the overall mission of the Lord's church. And so every one of us needs to be looking, what can I do, okay, to maybe fix this problem or find a solution to this or whatever in order to help the mission continue to proceed. Okay? It's a personal thing. And I think sometimes the problem is that we tend to look at it as a group thing. You know, and when we do that, then it's easy to figure somebody else is going to do that. when we look at it personally, this is, you know, what can I personally, specifically do to make a difference? Then I think that encourages us to be more involved and to be doing. If it's washing dishes, then we're washing dishes. If it's cutting grass, we're cutting grass. If it's, you know, cleaning the bathrooms, it's cleaning the bathrooms. If it's preaching, it's preaching. And Brian, to me, is one of the greatest examples of a Stephen that we have, because Brian cleans the bathrooms, okay, and everything else around here, but then he also steps up and preaches when, you know, when we need him to do that. You know, and so that's the kind of thing. What can each of us do, you see, to help the mission continue to be done? Denise? Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. Exactly. Yeah. Right. Well, it goes back to what we talked about earlier, is keeping in mind what's the mission. The mission isn't for me to have my little sandbox the way I like it. The mission is to share the gospel with as many people as we can. So you're exactly right. All right, that's all the time we've got. We need to prepare for our worship time.